the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear friends, today's feast commemorates the offertory, as it were, of our Lord's life. When Our Lady brought him to the temple because he was the firstborn, and God required that the firstborn of all humans and of all animals be offered to him in the temple as a sacrifice. And so Our Lady brings our Lord to the temple as her firstborn to offer him as a sacrifice to God the Father. It's also the day that Archbishop Lefebvre wanted the seminarians of the Society of St. Pius X to receive the cassock and the tonsure, which are like the first two steps that a young man takes in the seminary. But what does cleric mean, the word cleric? Because when a young man is tonsured, he becomes a cleric. The word comes from kleros, which is Greek for lot, as in drawing lots, or playing the lottery, or receiving your lot in life, or having a lot on which you build your house. So it means a portion of possession, or even an inheritance. When God led the Israelites into the Holy Land, after they expelled the Canaanites, so the local pagans, and they received the Holy Land, God wanted the Holy Land divided so that each tribe of Israel, each of the 12 tribes, received a district of the Holy Land. But the only tribe that didn't receive a district of the Holy Land was the tribe of Levi, the Levites. This was the tribe of Israel that God had chosen to offer sacrifice to him in the temple. So this was the tribe of Israel that were the priests. And in return for the honor of offering sacrifice in the temple, for that position in the nation of Israel, God didn't want the Levites to have an earthly possession, a district of land, but God wanted them to have his very self. God said, I myself will be their portion. They lived in cities throughout the entire Holy Land that the other tribes, so to speak, lent to them, but they didn't have land of their own because God wanted himself to be their possession and their inheritance. God wanted to be the lot of the Levites. And so in the Catholic Church, when a young man offers himself and God accepts the offering to dedicate his life to sacrifice, to the sacrifice, and the Church tonsures the young man, she calls him a cleric because from that moment on, he is to consider God as his reward, as his portion, as his inheritance, as what he receives in return for his offering of himself. That's why we're called clerics. Everyone needs to see men offer themselves for the priesthood. There is no happiness or health or content in human life where there's no meaning. And we measure meaning by how much we sacrifice for what we love, for the ideal that we love or the people that we love, or more realistically, a blend of both, the ideals and the people that we love. But to the extent that we sacrifice ourselves for what we love, we find meaning. We find health, not just supernatural health and salvation, but also natural health. And so the meaning of a life can be judged by what's given up for love. This is true for people who remain single in the world but dedicate themselves to serving others. You can think of teachers, for example, or children who remain unmarried but take care of their parents, or people who dedicate themselves to medicine and healing the bodies and taking care of the needs of others. This is true also for those who sacrifice their independence and to some extent their individuality in order to serve a spouse who they love and the children who are the fruit normally of that love. And if this is a marriage between Christian souls, it's got a sacramental element too. The couple, each of the spouses sacrificed themselves in order to be a symbol of the union of Christ and the church, to be a garden for new life to offer to our Lord. And it's true for the religious who sacrifice themselves through the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to serving the church and to serving Christ, giving up their lives and a worldly life in order to dedicate themselves directly to Christ. But all of these sacrifices, all of these noble and very meaningful lives, find their meaning primarily from the sacrifice par excellence, which is the crucifixion and death of our Lord. That sacrifice where our Lord, God incarnate, offered himself for us who he loved, for our salvation. All of the other kinds of lives and sacrifices find their sustenance, their support, their vitality, their fruitfulness, to the extent that they're united to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And God sanctifies all those other sacrifices through the crucifixion. This is why the church needs the priest. This is why, of all the kinds of lives that we can dedicate ourselves to, the most essential kind of sacrifice that the church needs is the sacrifice of young men to become priests. Because without priests, we can't have the crucifixion of our Lord extend throughout history. We weren't among the few who were present at the historical crucifixion of our Lord, but we need that sacrifice so that our lives have meaning. And we access that sacrifice through the Mass. That's the way our Lord continues the crucifixion. We're able to stand beneath the cross. We're able to be present at the sacrifice and death of our Lord thanks to the Mass. And the church needs her spouse. Our Lord gave birth to the church, who is her spouse, on the cross. Like Adam gave life to Eve in his sleep, God took Eve from the side of Adam while he was sleeping. And God produced the church from the side of Christ when he died on the cross and his heart was pierced with a lance. She's his spouse, and she needs his presence, not just for the few weeks after his resurrection that he walked on earth, but she needs his presence throughout history, until the final day, the day of judgment. And the way that our Lord decided that he would be present to his bride, the church, throughout history is through the sacrament of holy orders. By the character of his priesthood, the priest's soul is configured to be Christ for the church. He is a sacramental representation of Christ throughout history. And Christ serves the church, his bride, through the priesthood, through the character that the priest receives at his ordination. And so every other kind of Christian life depends on the sacrifice of young men who become priests. What does God promise in return for this sacrifice? The apostles told our Lord, "We've left everything." Well, at that point in their lives, they hadn't quite left everything yet, but they felt like they had. "We've left everything for you. What do we get in return?" And our Lord said, "If you leave father and mother and spouse and children and brothers and sisters and lands and possessions for my sake, you will receive 100-fold in this life and life everlasting hereafter." And this is an echo of what God wanted to give to the Levites. God himself is the hundredfold that's promised to the priest. It's not, the hundredfold is not a kind of worldly compensation for the sacrifice that the young man makes of himself to become a priest. When a priest is young, he feels perhaps like, I chose not to have a family. I chose not to pursue a career. I chose to give up wealth and possessions. I chose the pleasures and the normal pleasures and joys of life. And in return, I kind of hope that God gives me some satisfying worldly compensation. Perhaps there's a deeper felt emotional joy that comes from the priesthood that married people don't experience. Perhaps instead of having a career, I can have my circle of groupies who look at me with adoring eyes and thank me profusely for all I've done for them, and in that way validate me because I don't have a wife and a children to do it, or employees. Maybe instead of worldly possessions, I will be taken care of. I won't have to worry so much as family men do for where my next paycheck or meal is coming from. You know, perhaps a priest thinks a little bit this way when he's young. I think most priests don't think that way, but there's a little bit of that element in our souls. So when those things don't happen, the priest can start wondering, where's my hundredfold? Where's my compensation? Well, to the extent he does that, he forgets that his hundredfold is God himself. I myself will be their portion. I myself will be their inheritance. God is the reward of the priest for the sacrifice the priest makes. But for as long as the priest's heart is attached to the things of this world, his reputation, his satisfaction, his success with the faithful, or whatever it might be, for as long as his heart is attached to those things, God has to purify him, because God will not give himself to a man of sacrifice who hasn't sacrificed absolutely everything. And so the priest has to pass, as it were, through a wall of fire. I mean, we all do if we're baptized, but especially the priest who's meant to give everything, like Christ on the cross, to die naked and abandoned like Christ on the cross, so that the church can follow him. He especially has to be emptied of himself through purification so that God can give himself to him. It was hinted at in the lesson of the Mass. Who will endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. Many of you have already made your offering. You're married or religious, or you've dedicated yourself to serving your neighbor as single in the world. And now would not be the time to go to the seminary. But some of you haven't made your offering yet. And think about it. For those who have made their offering, perhaps God had other things in mind, so they didn't end up becoming priests. But to the extent that they sacrifice themselves for love in their chosen state of life, God will bless that and sanctify them and the world through it. But if you haven't made your offering yet, think about it. God doesn't need you to be anything except ready to offer. God doesn't need you to be intelligent with any kind of special intelligence. He doesn't need you to be handsome or strong or healthy. He doesn't need you to be charismatic. He doesn't need you to be worldly wise. All he needs is a man who says, I'm here, send me, and he does the rest. And if you don't offer yourself, who's going to? The young man sitting next to you in the pew, we're standing next to in the church, perhaps. But what if soldiers in combat had that mentality? No, he'll do it. The combat would not go very well. You could have a nice life on earth. You could marry a beautiful woman. You could have a successful career. You can have children who will carry on your name. You might perhaps make a mark in this world. But you have to leave all those things behind. And the church needs the crucifixion and the man of crucifixion. It's true that the priestly vocation is different from the religious vocation or the married life in that it proceeds entirely from the choice of God, rather than a blended choice of God and choice of the individual choosing that life. The priest does not take onto himself that honor, but he whom God chooses. And our Lord to the apostles, "You haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you." Nevertheless, a young man has to offer himself for the work to see if God chooses him or not. And it's very possible that young men won't offer themselves for the work, who otherwise would have been used to great advantage for the church by God to be men of sacrifice. If you do offer yourself, there's no more meaningful sacrifice. There's no higher ideal. There's nothing more necessary for the world than Jesus Christ. And the priest is Jesus Christ. Don't have any illusions. God will purify you. But once he's purified you of yourself and your perhaps legitimate attachments to this life, then he gives you himself. He is our portion and our lot and our hundredfold. Let's all of us put our sacrifice, our offering, in the arms of Our Lady, the virginal arms of Our Lady who presents our Lord in the temple today. Whether we're married or religious or single in the world, contemplating a priestly vocation, let's put it all in her hands and ask her to purify our motives so that our sacrifice can be found pleasing to the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.